it's really about recognizing the benefits and the value that comes from organic farming, and then seeing how those benefits extend beyond just the farm. They extend well into the community and even impact the economy. We're looking at organic as being able to be a solution for climate change and foster climate resilience. We're looking at organic as an economic driver and the importance in addressing economic insecurity. And we're also looking at the nutritional value of organic and really promoting and protecting people and the planet.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Do we have an organic future? And specifically, I think a question today is, does California have an organic future? And I'm really happy to have a guest with me to help me answer that question. And in fact, she's going to try to be sure that California does have an organic future. And that is Rebecca Weber. Rebecca is the policy director for the California Certified Organic Farmers. Rebecca, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Rebecca, I think we need to explain a couple things, because probably most of the people that listen to Farm to Table Talk aren't from California. But I think establishing your organization, even though you are the California Certified Organic Farmers, you do a certification program, but who you're working for in the certifications, not just California, is it?
That's correct. We actually certify upwards of 4,000 operations throughout North America, even have some operations that we certify in Mexico, but we are largely based in California.
So you're based in California, and currently you're like everybody else, and your people aren't traveling much, and they're doing all of this virtually. So you've got the offices all over the country, and like you said, even in Mexico, and you're connecting with each other and figuring out how to do everything online, and like we are today, or video conferencing too. Are you doing that as well?
We just had our first completely remote staff meeting last week, which was an interesting experience, just to see all of the different faces and all of the different living rooms and setups that they have. Yes, we are working remotely.
Yeah, you have to be careful about what you have behind you when you turn the screen up, don't you?
Sure.
You know what I always like to do is, it seems like the most popular thing behind people when they're doing these meetings are bookshelves. And I like to try to zoom in and see what they're actually reading. and it's, sometimes it's pretty interesting.
You learn a little bit more about your colleagues when you see their
You do enough of these, you get to meet their pets sometime too, that the pets wander in or kids wander in and lawnmowers start up. Let's explain what you do as your primary thrust. We're going to talk about broader ambitions that you have with California Certified Organic right now on an organic future. Your day job, if you would, I mean, a really main job is to certify people that are claiming to be organic. Explain what that is. What does that mean when you're certifying that they're organic producers?
Sure. So we have a federal program, organic certification, and CCOS is accredited by the Department of Agriculture to investigate and inspect and process our applications for our farmers that become certified organic.
And so if I am a farmer raising some crops that I want to have as certified organic, promote them as certified organic, there actually is a law. I mean, to be organic means something. There are all kinds of other descriptions that are out there of somebody saying natural or even GMO-free and some other things. But I think about the claim on production practices, about the only one that counts that has the backing of law is certified organic. Do I have that right?
That's right. That's right. And so the practices that organic farmers employ, such as not being prohibited from using synthetic pesticides or needing to have a 3-year transition period before they can even become organic certified. All of that is codified. All of that is within law, and it's something that really builds trust between our consumers and our producers.
Now, if I was still back on our family farm about 20 miles west of Peoria, Illinois, could I call you and say, okay, I'm wanting to certify my crops or certify whatever these products are, and I can vouch for the fact or prove that I've been in a transition, that the land has not had any of things that you're not allowing for the 3 years up to it. Can I call you in California and you can still come out to Illinois and certify my farming operation?
So you wouldn't be able to call me specifically.
Sure, somebody.
Side, but on our certification side, we definitely certify operations throughout the United States.
And you visit the farms too?
So there is an annual inspection.
Mm-hmm. And they're vouching for the production practices, and given all of that, and they've been certified by you. And I should point out, not just by your organization, there's some other certifying organizations as well, right?
Correct.
But is California Certified, is it the largest?
We are the largest.
Oh, okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So that explains who, you know, what the organization is about. Now I want to talk about a specific project. In addition to doing that, which is a really big and important job, you're also behind a plan right now that is identifying a California or an organic future for California. Explain that.
So it's really about understanding what the challenges are that we're facing and recognizing that we need organic. It's not only about promoting organic for the sake of organic, but it's recognizing that organic really is a tool that California needs to secure its future. And we're using California as a model, but really it can be applied to any state.
Well, you just answered my next question. Some of the people are saying, well, you work all over the country. Why is California the centerpiece on this? So this is something that as you're working on this program, we're going to talk about what might be in this program. You could apply it to North Carolina or Indiana or wherever in the country and bring the same mindset and pursue similar programs and policies in those states at some point in time.
Yes, so it's really about recognizing, because organic is backed by federal law, right? The organic farms in California are the same as the organic farms in Vermont, are the same as the organic farms in North Carolina. And so it's really about recognizing the benefits and the value that comes from organic farming, and then seeing how those benefits extend beyond just the farm. They extend well into the community and even impact the economy.
So if we look at your plan, you have a blueprint, or a map, rather, and that map is how you're going to get there. And then we'll talk a little bit more about what there looks like. You arriving and say, ah, we made it, or we're on our way.
Yeah.
What are the key components? What are the main areas that you address in this map to achieve this organic vision?
So I should say that, you know, we first started with the science, and we did an extensive review of over 300 peer-reviewed scientific articles and really distilled what the benefits are of organic farming. And then, you know, understanding what those benefits are, we crafted policy recommendations that would extend those benefits to all of our communities. And so we're looking at organic as being able to be a solution for climate change and foster climate resilience. We're looking at organic as an economic driver and the importance in addressing economic insecurity. And we're also looking at the nutritional value of organic and really promoting and protecting people and the planet.
those are really interesting, broad, ambitious areas. And when you talk about the benefits, I assume you're talking about the benefits to the farmer that grows them, to the community they're grown in, to consumers that purchase them, and I suppose the whole chain that ends up moving the products as well. You're hitting a lot of different levels.
That's right. That's right. It's really about understanding the big picture and the web of benefits that come from an organically managed acre. And so it is broad, but this is our bold vision, and it's our way of stepping forward and creating concrete next steps that we can take to create a more prosperous and resilient future.
Well, let's take a couple of these chunks of it and look at it. So if we look at, say, the environment and the implications that you're having for the environment, what are the way you see it right now, what organic is communicating, and what is some of the programs that you will be supporting or policies that you're supporting to accelerate that growth and the accomplishments on the environment side?
So when we're talking about the environment and when we're talking about organic, I think the really important point to make is soil and building healthy soils. So organic really promotes, within our regulations, it's a requirement that organic farmers maintain or improve their soil quality, right? So they're implementing certain practices that are really creating soils that are absorbing water and nutrients and are able to hold on to those. They are building soils that are able to sequester carbon and really mitigate climate change. They're building soils that have a greater biodiversity. And so when we talk about the benefits to the environment, we're really talking about how organic farmers are nurturing their soils. And the benefits stem beyond just the farm. Like I said about mitigating climate change, organic farmers we're finding are resilient. We're seeing that they can, because their soils can hold on to water, they're able to withstand drought and be better prepared for extreme weather.
Now, I think it's maybe important to point out that there's some organic doesn't use soil, too. There's organic that can be certified that are, say, in greenhouses, and in which case they're in some sort of a substrate. Does that kind of production still have a path that is contributing to the environment, have a role to play that, although it's not soil-based?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to point out that there's a whole host of practices that organic farmers employ, and this report, it's not focused on a single type of practice. It's really taking a broader look at organic as an innovative approach to managing and growing our crops and growing our food. But it's really looking at what the overall benefits are from these approaches that organic farmers employ, and thinking through what the science says about those benefits.
What about the consumer perspective? I'm certain that consumers do want to know that there are they're buying food products that have an environmental friendly approach, that have a minimal carbon footprint and not contributing to greenhouse gases. But then they're also concerned about the health of their family and nutrition, and you wrap your arms around that area as well, don't you?
We do. I think it's important to note that a lot of families, 80% of families, buy some type of organic product. Health is definitely at the top of mind when consumers are buying organic food, because they know that organic foods are highly nutritious.
You know, one issue that always comes up when they're looking at it nutritious of people that say that they buy organic as much as they can, but they often find it more expensive. I mean, I suppose you could argue in the long run, what's the true cost if is how do people weigh health issues? But are there any of your programs that are also supporting getting the production cost lower? I mean, getting, you know, increased efficiency so they're, you know, able to produce it maybe with not quite as much of a price premium as it sometimes shows up with at the retail level.
So we're absolutely interested in expanding access to organic food. Some of the policies that we've put forth are encouraging schools to purchase organic food and serve organic school lunches. We're interested in hospitals and having our vulnerable populations have access to organic food, and even expanding access to organic food in corner stores. Many communities lack access to grocery stores, and they're shopping at corner stores for their primary source of food. And we think it's important that organic fresh produce is one of those options.
You know, you talk about corner stores, and I've watched this really excellent series with Andrew Zimmern. Have you seen this one about What's Eating America?
I have not.
It's a really, really good series. One of the things he shows is that in so much of America, and ironically, especially rural America, supermarkets are disappearing and Dollar General is taking their place. And the various dollar stores, which now there's more of them than there are Walmarts, apparently, in the United States, seldom have a selection of fresh fruit and vegetables, let alone a selection of organic options. And that's pretty alarming to try to get the distribution. Now, as an industry, is there anything being done to, you know, to promote better distribution and again, like you said, into these corner stores or bodegas that people talk about, which often are the only place people get food and what might otherwise be a food desert, both the food deserts that are in large cities, but also food deserts that are in rural areas too.
There have been a number of efforts, both city efforts. San Francisco is one that comes to mind, as well as at the state level, of getting refrigeration in these stores so they can carry certain types of produce. And we're interested in expanding those types of programs, also looking at farmers markets as another access point and really promoting and supporting access to farmers markets.
You know, when you talk about supporting the farmers markets, it gets back to another part of the chore is actually supporting the farmers so they make enough money that they can stay in business. And that's always been a challenge to farmers, is that, you know, that they can make enough money to stay in business. I mean, it's simple as that. But that economic viability and growth of people that are committed to the direction that you're talking about, what kind of programs do you have that are going to be supporting or encouraging or helping increase the returns to the farmers that are on this journey?
You know, we're really excited to also share the story of how organic farmers are actually improving their communities and supporting the economy. We found research that supports that organic farms reinvest dollars within their own community by selling locally and creating jobs. And so there's definitely work to be done to support our farmers and promote viability. But I think, you know, we don't want to lose sight of the story of how our farms are also supporting our communities. And, you know, some of the programs that we're looking into are supporting access to labor and having farm workers housing and transportation options. We're looking at promoting new markets for farms. We're looking at institutional purchasing. Look, going back to thinking about our schools and our hospitals, are there more ways that we can connect our organic farmers with these institutions so that they're able to provide organic food to even greater populations? We're also looking at requirements on farmers, on organic farmers in particular, and thinking of ways of, you know, can we streamline these requirements that to ease the burden a little bit on our organic farmers that we know are doing so much for our community.
So when these farmers, say if they're totally in a non-organic situation right now, they're more conventional agriculture, and they want to start transitioning, is there any help available to them while they're in this transition stage? Is there any opportunities for them to market product that's not quite certified, but it should be soon?
You know, it's interesting to bring up transition. We're actually promoting a policy right now. There's a healthy soils program in California that provides incentives to farmers to implement practices that promote soil health. And we're advocating that organic certification should be one of those practices because of the known climate benefits and the benefits of soil health. And so we're actually looking at supporting just that, the transition to organic certification. And so that would be one area that would promote and encourage transition. You know, it is a challenging time for farmers because they're not receiving the price premium during that time, but they're implementing and trying a new, usually it's a new way of farming for them. And we're very cognizant of those challenges and are always looking for opportunities to support them.
You know, I had a guest on that was talking about trends, and they said that whenever we go into a recession, that some of the premium type of marketing programs, and she was including organic, it either slows down, backs up a little bit, but it eventually comes back. That, and she was saying that while some people that have been skeptical about, say, organic in particular, may say, see, it's not popular, it can't sustain itself. Her point was that it's not unexpected in recessions that people go back and end up, you know, really looking at cost, and it might slow down a little bit, but then predicting there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it starts coming back again. You know, I don't throw that confusing in right now, but it's just hard to separate ourselves, I think, from the times that we're in, which have stress on the economy. And, of course, right now it's kind of stress on the just how we live, because we're in the middle of a time yet that responding to the response to the virus in a lot of parts of the country are being shut down. Is that are you hearing any reports of how that's specifically maybe affecting organic farmers?
You know, it's certainly unprecedented times. That is for sure. And we are currently undertaking an assessment of our farms and learning and understanding how they're impacted. And I will say that initial results are, it is a nuanced story. We have farmers that are really proud of being an essential service and are feeding our families and making sure that during this time we have food on our plates. But we also, of course, have farms that are impacted, right? Mm-hmm. When you think about the closing of restaurants and movie theaters and venues where people are consuming food, that's an impact, certainly. That ripples across the food system.
You know, I think it's important that to remind us that in times like these, there is a designation that they are essential, and we do need to have the food production, these food systems. And when people summarize who are the people that are providing essential services, they talk about doctors and policemen and firemen and farmers and some others.
Absolutely.
But it's pretty exclusive territory. It sure brings people back to the fact that what we're doing is awfully important. Now, what you're doing is awfully important. And you talk about this roadmap for an organic future. How is that going to play out, say, in the state legislature, in our case, and it could eventually be in other legislatures as well. What's the political implications of your activities?
So, you know, this is a bold vision for, you know, we include nearly 40 recommendations for both the state legislature, for Congress, for different agencies to take action to really promote organic and to grow the organic sector, to think about addressing these huge challenges that we're facing and develop organic as a tool. And we are already working through what are the next steps and how to implement this roadmap. We actually had an advocacy day in Sacramento in February, where we brought 90 farmers to our elected officials and had over 50 meetings where we met with different legislators and talked them through what organic means and why it matters. And we're really excited to see how much enthusiasm there is for the organic sector and how many partners we have. You know, we're not in this alone. We have worked and collaborated with folks in the health sector. We are working with environmental advocates. We are working with different business groups and, of course, our farmers to think through how to really move forward on an organic agenda.
Oh, we date ourselves here because you had that meeting when you were still able to have meetings.
Correct.
And I got there to a reception and talked to you a little bit at that reception. And it wasn't very much longer after that before everybody was told to stay home. So you got everybody together. You were able to reach many people that were members of the legislature. Certainly you've got friends that are working with you at the Department of Agriculture and so forth. But are there any bills that are being introduced? Has anyone stepped up and said, here, this part of your agenda, we are going to introduce a bill because we eventually need a law or we need funding to support this or that program? Are any of those that far along?
Sure. So, you know, we just came out with our report last month. And we are now in the process of figuring out what legislative action we need and what are the next steps. There are certainly bills that are being discussed that have an impact. There is discussion around school lunches this year, and we've had conversations about making sure that organic is included in that. And, of course, we're also thinking about legislation in future years. Right now, of course, the focus has been shifted. We are in a crisis moment, and we're just so really supporting our farmers during this time and making sure, like we mentioned before, they are essential services and making sure that we're able to step up and feed our families and feed our communities right now.
Well, and you're working from a home office. I am working from a home office. I would imagine the legislators and many of the agencies are working from home offices right now. So that's going about this will be very, very different. But
it is a new reality.
but again, if you take an area that needs to be addressed, there will be somebody in again, our General Assembly in California that will draft a bill with, I say, your help, but who's your? I mean, is there a broader community in addition to the California Certified Organic Farmers that become part of the coalition of other organizations that are also engaged to try to influence the laws in the direction that you need the help on?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we didn't draft these policy recommendations in a vacuum. We held stakeholder meetings where we engaged with experts in all different areas. As I mentioned, health and justice and the environment and agriculture and business and talking through, because organic really is a cross-cutting, intersectional issue. Yes, it's about agriculture, but it's just as much about climate change. It's just as much about economic development and health equity. And so it really is an area where there's ample room for collaboration and partnership.
So who's the convener? Is there any one of you or one of the organizations that's a lead and say, hey, let's all get on Zoom now because we just can't sit around at home. Let's get this thing going. Is there a lead organization or a chairman of a coalition or something like this that's when it comes to these sorts of policies that will be getting them kickstarted?
There are, certainly, but I think it's also important to recognize that our roadmap is very broad and it's very bold, and it touches on many different issues. And so it's not the same convener for each issue, and there are already partners working in these spaces, and we're excited to work with them and really think through how organic adds value and move the ball forward.
You know, you mentioned earlier that this is also going to be happening at the national level as well. So is there a coalition of organizations such as your own that are identifying currently federal policies?
There are many organizations that work on federal policies. CCOF is one. We partner closely with the Organic Trade Association and others. Where we're really looking at opportunities to move organic forward on the federal level.
You know, this is really, really interesting, and it's ambitious and something that I'm sure the people that are involved in your organization feel good about the direction, and consumers paying attention to all this can feel good about the direction. And I think there's also some people that are saying, gee, I wish I could jump in here and get involved. How did you jump in here and get involved? I mean, what's your story? How did you end up being the policy director for California Certified Organic Farmers and being involved in such an important effort like this for an organic future?
Sure. I'll first say that anyone who wants to get involved, we are all hands on deck. Welcome anyone to jump in. And I think a good first start is to visit our website, CCOF.org, and sign up for our newsletter and stay informed on what we're doing and ways of participating in our actions. We are often blogging about our next step. My story, you know, I am from California originally, and it's been a real pleasure to come back home and work on an issue that's so close to my heart. I've been working on federal and state issues, policy issues related to agriculture and water and the environment for the past decade, both in D.C. as well as in Vermont. And it's been really interesting to be able to come home and, again, work on an issue that I started off as an organic consumer. And that's really where I jumped into
You weren't raised on a farm then.
I was not raised on a farm. I was raised in the Bay Area and really learned about organic from my mom and someone who was always even employing organic practices in our home garden, bringing me to farmers markets and teaching me to cook and just really emphasize the value on food.
And then when it was time for you to go off to college, did a light go off or something and say, and pull you in this direction of environment and sustainable farming? How did you get on that track?
So I had a pleasure of actually in grad school, I interned with Senator Leahy's office and was really interested in that intersection between agriculture and the environment. You know, up in Vermont, there's a lot of emphasis on cleaning up Lake Champlain, and it's been really interesting to see how our organic farmers are able to contribute to that effort, and just interested in applying some of those same ideas here in California.
And so that led to, did you ever work, you were working in Vermont, and you worked in Washington, D.C. too?
I did. I interned in Senator Leahy's office in Vermont and then moved down.
Oh, okay. and then back in California, and now you've really turned the loop. What I think is so interesting about this is the number of people who are engaged and involved in agriculture and production and today, that their connection back was really as a consumer first, or as somebody now that grew up and, like you said, like your mom put a priority on farmers markets and so forth, and that helped kind of get people interested in those directions, and then find themselves back to the farm. When I was growing up, it was usually only farm kids that grew up to be involved in farming. And you didn't see any of it the other way around. And now it's almost exactly the opposite, which is, it's just interesting. And it's nice to see people that are kind of coming back and finding ways, they bring in fresh ideas and their and enthusiasm. So if you were going to give advice to people that, say if there's someone out there back to where you were, even from college days, and suggest to them a course that they could get on if they want to have a connection in their future. Any suggestions? I mean, how do people get themselves on this road that might allow them to someday be, you know, fully engaged, either as farmers or farming or working with these programs that are promoting this type of agriculture?
I would say get out on a farm. I think the best thing that I've done, or, you know, in the moments when I've learned the most, is really just talking to farmers, whether it's at a farmer's market and talking about the challenges they're facing or the things that they're doing and they're excited about, or going on a farm tour, any opportunity to really connect with farmers themselves and hear what they have to say. I mean, policymaking is all about trying to bring their voices to the table. And so any opportunity to do so, I'd say take advantage.
Well, that's good advice. And another thing, if people would like to see this blueprint, this ambitious plan that you're working on, how can they get a copy of that?
Absolutely. So they can download it from our website, ccf.org/roadmap, R-O-A-D-M-A-P. Please join us. Read our roadmap, reach out to us. We are happy to partner and collaborate.
Well, I tell you, we really appreciate your giving us information on this today and this offer. I'm sure a number of people are going to be reaching out to you. Rebecca Weber, the Policy Director for California Certified Organic Farmers, good luck with this roadmap that you have. I'm sure it's going to be achieved and you're going to enjoy bringing people along and feel good about it. And a lot of people will be wanting to do this not only in California, but as you pointed out, throughout the country. And I want to thank you for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.